Hey, it's Mike Whitfield here with WorkoutFinishers.com and the blog over at TrainWithFinishers.com. And I'm really excited to be doing this because this is our first podcast, if you will. And basically, in a nutshell, you're asking some questions that I'm going to be giving some answers to that you can listen to. And of course, you can download to your device and maybe even listen to it while you work or go on a walk or whatever. But in a nutshell, that's what it's all about. You ask me your fitness and nutrition questions, and then I answer them for you and hopefully give you some answers to make you healthier. And that's what we're looking to do. And I'm just going to jump right in. But before I do so, if you have some questions that you'd like for me to answer through this, and if you'd like to hear more of these, please let us know by emailing us at cranktraininghelp@gmail.com. I'm going to give you that one more time. It's cranktraininghelp@gmail.com, and ask us your questions there, and I'll see if we can get them on a future podcast. And of course, let me know what you think of this, and we'll continue to do them if I get a lot of great feedback on it. And I just want to make sure it's worth your time and to get you healthy. So let's jump right in. And the first one is from John Bentley, and he asks, "What is a good program for a beginner or someone new to bodyweight training?" And that's actually a great question, because the first thing I want to do is, in the near future, I would actually like to come out with a bodyweight program for beginners, and maybe even some little equipment workouts as well, and just to kind of get people onto their feet and kind of ease into my harder metabolic workouts. So with that being said, I'm pretty excited about that, so keep an eye out for that. But in the meantime, basically what you want to do is you want to cut back on your sets, okay? You want to cut back on your volume for a beginner. You also want to use easier exercises. Now, what I mean by volume is you want to keep your sets to just 1 to 2, okay? In other words, you don't want to be doing 3 to 4 or even getting into density training at this point as a beginner. You want to keep things simple. So that's rule number one, is just do 1 to 2 sets, okay? You also want to use non-impact exercises. So with that being said, I'm just going to run you through kind of a template, if you will, for a beginner workout, all right? So a good example is starting out with some lying leg hip extensions. So you're going to be lying on your back and just simply extending your hips up in the air and squeezing your glutes. You want to do that for 10 reps, and you could superset that with a very easy push-up. That can be a regular push-up or even kneeling push-ups, and you want to do 5 to 8 reps on those, okay? So we're going to start off with some very easy, or I would say not easy, but simple exercises. So that's your first superset, and you could do 2 sets. And as far as rest periods, it's up to you, but I typically like to give a beginner a good minute after each superset before moving into the next one. So your next superset would be something like stick-ups are a great way. You can do 10 to 12 reps on those. That's just a matter of standing against a wall with your shoulder blades against the wall with your feet about shoulder width apart, and you simply raise your hands above your head, but the key is to try to keep your shoulder blades against the wall, and what that's going to do is that's going to work your upper back. A lot of us are behind the desk a lot, especially beginners, so we need to work those upper back muscles because they've been dormant for a long time. So 10 to 12 reps on those, and then you could superset that with perhaps a stability ball leg curl. You know, I'm going to recommend anywhere between 6 to 10 reps, but if somebody can only knock out 3 to 4 reps on those, that's perfectly fine. Basically, what we're looking to do is to work the glutes and, of course, wake up those hamstrings, because the hamstrings are another muscle group that have possibly been ignored from doing some too much sitting and things like that. So that's your next superset. Then we're going to go into some basic ab exercises. Can't go wrong with a plank. So do a plank position for 20 to 30 seconds, and then do maybe like some side planks for 20 seconds per side, or maybe even just 15 seconds per side, because the side plank can be difficult for some people. And so you don't want to overwhelm them. And now that's pretty much it. Those 3 supersets for no more than 1 to 2 sets. That's kind of a template. And of course, those could be modified based on, based on a client fitness level, of course, your own fitness level and things like that. And then, another question I get that I'll go ahead and touch base on, since we're talking about beginners, is a beginner finisher. And in a nutshell, basically what you want to look at is using a finisher with a beginner. You want to keep the exercise simple. You also want to keep the exercises non-impact. So we're not going to be doing, jump squats or lunge jumps or explosive push-ups or anything like that. Instead, we're going to use moves like jumping jacks. Total body extensions are another great staple. And you also want to use less exercises. You don't want to overwhelm them. So here's a very just basic beginner finisher if they're up to doing a finisher. I would say maybe jumping jacks for 20 seconds and then maybe doing two sets of those. You know, keep it very simple, very cut and dry. You don't want to overwhelm them when they're first starting out. So as a matter of fact, I even recommend just not even doing a finisher when first starting out. But if anything, if they're really, you know, pumped up and ready to rock, then you could certainly do something like that, like those jumping jacks. So hopefully that helps you out, John. And we're going to jump into the next question here. And we're actually going to continue with this beginner realm. And this is from Claire Harrison. And she says that she's even more of a beginner than that. And she was in a wheelchair for 5 years. And she just recently had been out of a wheelchair now for 14 weeks. And so first, a big congratulations to you, Claire. That's huge. And that's fantastic that you were able to get out of that wheelchair. I can't even imagine how monumental that was. And I've seen that kind of same great news as well, because my mom, she has a disease called MG, and she was actually in a wheelchair as well. And now she has, on most days, she can walk fine. And so I know the excitement about that. So getting off track here, but basically, in a nutshell, Claire's looking to, you know, she's just now to where she can walk for a few minutes, and now she's wanting to know what's the next point. And I'll be honest with you, working with someone like that is just not my expertise. I haven't worked with someone like this before. And so what I'm going to tell you is first meet with a trainer that is specialized in working with someone like you. Okay, I really strongly recommend you do that. They will get you on the right track. But the key here is, much like the advice I had given John, you want to stick with non-impact exercises. That's the first thing. And then you want to do less. You know, even what you think is conservative, you want to do less than that, because the last thing you want to do is, one, hurt yourself, and then, two, become overwhelmed and burn out. Okay, we don't want you doing that. So hopefully it gives you a little bit of direction. But I suggest that you strongly meet with someone. All right, moving on. And Leslie Milliken, hopefully I said your last name right. She has a really good question here. And she says, for the average person, not a bodybuilder or athlete or fitness model, what does a good week of exercise and diet look like? That's a very good question. I'm glad you asked that. And I think this is going to help some people out, because I know sometimes you can get on info overload. There's a lot of good advice out there. Some people say you got to work out, you know, 7 days a week. Some people say you have to work out, you know, twice a week. And so here's what I've done with my clients in the past. Now, keep in mind, my clients, when I train them one-on-one at my facility in Dallas, Georgia, what I would do, these were folks that were busy. They were, you know, either stay-at-home moms, or they had, you know, regular jobs where they had to be there by 8 and that kind of thing. So they didn't have a whole lot of time. And it seemed like the best results came from 3 days a week for 30 minutes. Okay, so that's it in a nutshell. So 3 days a week, 30 minutes, and try to space those out. In other words, try to do like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday format, or a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday format. Something like that is a good example. Now, what kind of workouts? I actually prefer full body workouts. That's where I've seen the fastest and the best results with working with hundreds of clients, and that seems to be the ticket. Now, granted, sometimes things need a change up, and your body needs a good change up. So what you could do is then go to an upper-lower split. Now, there's a couple ways you could do that. One is, if you want to stick with a three-day-a-week program, then what you could do is, this is just an example, so hopefully you can kind of use this as a template, but Monday could be a lower body workout, Wednesday could be an upper body workout, and Friday can be a full body workout. So that way you kind of have a split in the week with a full body workout. So that's method number one. Method number two is, if you like to work out 4 days a week, then you could do an upper-lower split this way. So Monday would be lower body, Tuesday would be upper body, and then you rest on Wednesday, and then Thursday would be lower body again, and then Friday would be upper body again as well. And so that way you hit your upper and your lower twice a week. And so that's another option. that you could do. So hopefully that covers the exercise part. Now, the nutrition part, that's where it gets really tricky because everybody has a different lifestyle. They prefer different foods. And let's face it, you know it and I know it. There is a lot of diets out there. There's a lot of info out there, and it can be overwhelming and confusing. You know, in a nutshell, just about every diet works. I've seen people lose weight with Weight Watchers. I've seen them lose weight with low-carb diets, paleo, intermittent fasting, whether that's, you know, once or twice a week for 24 hours or if it's daily for 16 hours. I've seen a lot of diets work. Now, with that being said, it seemed like with my clients, especially the Transformation Contest winners, the diet that seemed to win, or be the most popular, I should say, is the 1 to 2 24-hour fast a week. Because what that did was it allowed them a calorie deficit while allowing them to pretty much continue what they were doing. In other words, they didn't have to change their diet a whole lot. All they had to do is basically take a break from eating twice a week for 24 hours, and they would lose, you know, nothing radical, but they would, you know, lose on average 1 to 2, and I had some that even lost up to 3 pounds a week doing this method. That is, unless they were on a very aggressive program. But seemed to be the winner was the 1 to 2 24-hour fast a week. Now, to add to that, what you could do is it comes down to this. Doesn't matter if it's paleo, doesn't matter if it's low carb. A good diet really comes down to better decisions. That's it. Always remember that. Doesn't matter what diet you're on, a better diet comes down to better decisions. That eliminates so much confusion, and hopefully that kind of sets you free from being on info overload. And I posted this on my Facebook page a couple weeks ago, and I got a good response on that. And that's really, in a nutshell, that's what it is. And that's what I always encourage my clients to do. So make better decisions. So in other words, if you're not seeing the results that you were hoping for at the end of each week, then it's time to make even more better decisions. Okay. So good example is in the afternoon. Let's say you go to the vending machine, and you always grab yourself a Coke and a candy bar. You know, that's about, you know, anywhere between, I don't know, 150 calories for the Coke, and then another, just depends on what bar you get, anywhere between 200 to 400 calories for the candy bar. You know that switching out that candy bar for a piece of fruit is a better decision. Now, is that paleo? Yeah, it could be. Is it low carb? Not necessarily, because it's a fruit and it has carbs. But that's the thing, is you don't worry about that. Don't worry about what kind of diet you're following. Just base your progress on making better decisions. That's really what it comes down to. So that's it in a nutshell as far as what kind of diet you should be on. And really it comes down to you want to be 80% compliant. Some folks have to be more like 90%. But I do believe in giving yourself that reward meal every once in a while. And that way it just keeps you on track, and it kind of keeps you from burning out. And so that's it in a nutshell, is just make better decisions, okay? Now, this actually led into your next question, Leslie, and that is, there seems to be some disagreement on the need for a cheat day, a cheat meal, or none at all. What are your thoughts on their necessity for weight loss? Are they just a fun way to keep you on the diet, or do you think they actually rev up fat loss? So with that being said, here's my thought on a cheat day, okay? A cheat day, as you know, it's a full day of cheating, you know, eating whatever you want. Now, for those that have a problem with food, in other words, if you crave junk, doesn't matter what day of the week it is, you're always thinking of, you know, sugars or fats or, you know, pastries or something like that. I do believe that a cheat day can be a big time fail for you. And here's why, is from what I've seen with my own clients, is they're already craving these bad foods. And so when Saturday comes or Sunday, whatever the cheat day is, what they end up doing is they end up pretty much gorging, and they get in as much as they can. They'll even be full, and they'll continue to keep eating because they have the mentality of I've got to get in all my cheat meals, all my favorite foods today, because I'm not going to be able to eat again like this for another week. And so what happens is they eliminate everything they worked hard for all week in one day because they're bringing in, you know, 10 to 15,000 calories at one time. You know, it just depends on how much they consume. But, you know, I'll be honest with you, when I was about 300 pounds, I brought in, I'm estimating here, around 10,000 calories. And that's just part of who I was and the cravings I had and, of course, my monster appetite. So I will say that it can be a disaster for those that that have a bad relationship with food. Okay, so I think a reward meal might be better. And as a matter of fact, spreading them out might even be better. Okay, so perhaps maybe Friday night you have your favorite pizza or whatnot. And then Saturday night you have another cheat meal, whether that's, you know, some nachos or some cake or, you know, whatever. Stack of pancakes, of course. But with that being said, that might be an alternate route for you to take for those that have a bad relationship with food. Instead of trying to get in all your cheat foods in one day, that could be a disaster. Now, for those that don't have a bad relationship with food, and on top of that, really don't have a big appetite, a cheat day could be work. You know, could work really well. You know, you look forward to your cheat day, and of course, maybe you have a burger at lunch with some French fries, and then Saturday night you have some pizza or something like that, and then you carry on and you're able to stick with your diet the rest of the week. That could be fine. Here's the trick, though, to using a cheat day to your advantage, okay? And this is where people miss out on getting the max benefit of a cheat day. What you need to do is during the week leading up to your cheat day, your calories have to be really low in order for that cheat day to work to your advantage. In other words, if let's say you're a female and you cut your calories down to say 1,400 a day or 1,500 a day, okay? Doing that and then having a cheat day, it's probably not going to work for most females. That's just the way it is. And so instead of having your daily calories at around 1,400, you probably need to look at having them at around 1,200 and maybe even 1,100. And I know that goes against the grain of what most people do, but this is in accordance with having a full cheat day, okay? But the idea in a nutshell is you have to keep your calories very low during the week, and then you bring in that surplus of calories on the weekend day. And, you know, I don't want to get too sciencey on you, but we're looking at, raising your leptin levels and things like that. That actually will benefit in fat loss. In other words, you're bringing in the surplus of calories after being very low on calories during the week. That actually works to your advantage. But like I said, if you have a bad relationship with food, you shouldn't be doing it. And B, if you can't seem to keep your calories low, especially if your workouts are really tough, you know, during the week, then a cheat day might not fit your lifestyle. You might be better off doing a couple of cheat meals throughout the weekend, okay? So hopefully that helps you out. So moving on into the next question. Now we got a question from Shelly Abernathy, and she says, we see a lot of the programs being advertised by a collection of trainers you're a part of. They seem to be getting lower and lower on the number of minutes needed to work out in a week. But for someone in the physical shape all of you are in, honestly, how much do you do? I know it may be different for everyone, but what's your sweet spot for enough but not stressing your body? And that is a great question. And I think what she might be referring to is Craig's recent launch. Craig Valentine, he's my mentor and coach. And that's 6 Minutes to Skinny. And it's a 6-minute program. Here's the thing is short workouts work really well. You know, people can actually get results in very short workouts. Now, here's the key, though, is their diet has to be really tight. So that really is up to you. You know, if you want to have a little bit more wiggle room, then just being transparent here, you got to compensate for that. And, you know, no matter what people say, you really can't out-train a bad diet. You might be able to if you're getting into those really longer workouts. We're talking workouts that burn 1,000 calories or more. I think Kate has those. The only thing is you got to know that you're going to have to sacrifice the time, you know, and sacrifice your body in order to do that. So keep that in mind. So with that being said, the sweet spot is really, it really is up to the individual. But here's what I found to be the most successful. I myself work out 3 days a week for 30 minutes. That's pretty much my regimen. However, I also make sure that I'm active on my off days. Now, here's how I do that. Just as an example, I will work out on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays for 30 minutes. That's pretty much my workout schedule. And Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I play basketball with the guys. I'll go down to my church, usually around 6:30, and I'll play some basketball with some guys. I absolutely love it. Now, right now, I'm actually on a hiatus because I have a strained calf, and so I'm not able to take advantage of that basketball. But typically, in a nutshell, that's my schedule. I work out 3 days a week, and I do full-body workouts. Sometimes I'll go on an upper-lower split, but that's my sweet spot. That allows me to have a cheat meal typical on Friday night. Sometimes I'll add another cheat meal on Saturday. And then on Sunday, I might even give myself a little bit of a sweet treat, like maybe, you know, a trip over to a place called Minchie's where they have some frozen yogurt or, you know, a cupcake or something like that, just to get my sweet tooth cure for the weekend. But that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Staying active 3 days a week, doing 3 30-minute workouts per week, and then allowing myself 2 cheat meals. That's my own personal sweet spot. Now, granted, my cheat meals are going to be different from your cheat meals. For instance, when it's, you know, I have pancakes no less than biweekly. And here's why I only have them biweekly. When I have a stack of pancakes, it's not just a little stack of pancakes. It's typically in the neighborhood of 8 pancakes. And they're really big and they're really thick. I can put down some pancakes. And so that weekend, that's going to be my cheat meal. That's it. Because, I mean, I don't know what the calorie count is on that, but I'm guessing it's in the neighborhood of around 1,500 calories. And, of course, on top of that, you know, I'm eating my regular meals that day as well. So there's quite a big surplus of calories that day. So that's the sweet spot for me. Now, what is it for you? That's really up to you. Take a look at your schedule. Take a look at your lifestyle. Ask yourself, what can you commit to? And then stick with it. You know, there's some people that get great results on, you know, Monday through Friday. They do these 4-minute workouts, and their diet is really tight, and they're seeing great results. And so that's what you got to do. And nothing is going to top tracking what's working. So track at the end of what I like to do is every 2 weeks, track what's working. You know, take a look at what you're doing as far as exercise. Take a look at what you're eating. And then, you know, are you seeing a difference in the mirror? Are your clothes fitting differently? Are you taking measurements? And if you are and you're enjoying what you're doing, you have found your own personal sweet spot. So hopefully that gives you some light on there. Now, before we end this podcast, this is pretty good. We're heading into the 23rd minute here, and I wanted to keep this at 30 minutes or less. So it looks like we're right on the sweet spot. The last one is from Grady Dunn, and he says, on the nutrition side, you're a big boy. How does one consistently get 200 grams of protein a day? And what do your protein servings look like for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Now, the good news is, Grady, is the first thing is I don't take in 200 grams of protein a day. So that's the good news. You don't have to either. I know the norm, especially in the bodybuilding world and in the magazines and things like that, they say that, you know, to take in 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. So if you weigh 200 pounds, you need to take in 200 grams of protein. But that is simply not the case. Working with my clients one-on-one, of course, with my campers and, of course, myself, you can actually get great results in just consuming 70 to 120 grams of protein a day. That's all that's needed. Now, if you're on, you know, if you're on the heavier end, if you're a male, you probably want to be as close to that 120 mark, maybe a little higher, you know, than, you know, smaller people or females, but for the most part, 70 to 120 grams a day is going to be your sweet spot as far as protein. So that's the good news. You don't have to cram in as much protein as you thought. So with that being said, what my protein is, how I bring it in, is for breakfast, I actually skip breakfast. The only thing I have for breakfast is a cup of coffee. And I get up at 4, and I know some people think I'm crazy for doing this, but I actually get up at 4. I'm having a cup of coffee by 4:30-ish, and that is my only breakfast. And I typically don't eat until around 11 or 12, and that is, I'd say 90% of the time, that's a BioTrust shake with some milk. And so right there, with some almond milk. So that's that right there, you're looking at probably around 30 grams of protein right there. And then in the afternoon, I have a kind of a weird concoction of a coffee. Again, it's usually decaf, and that is just, you know, coffee and then a tablespoon of coconut oil and then some beef gelatin. Now, beef gelatin may sound disgusting to put in your coffee, but just a single tablespoon is like, I think, like 9 grams. And so putting in 2 tablespoons, you're looking at, you know, about 20 grams of protein right then and there. And then sometimes I'll have a, you know, something with protein as well as another snack. I typically eat very light during the day and then kind of have a big dinner. But another protein source that I like is a light string cheese. I know, it, you know, it's not completely, you know, unprocessed or whole foods or anything like that, but I'm just being transparent here. I'm not going to lie and say I eat, you know, grass-fed, you know, beef, organic chicken 99% of the time. That's just not the truth. And so I have these light string cheeses. And I typically have 3 of them. And there's, I think, if I remember right, I think there's 8 grams of protein per 6. And so that's another 24 grams right there. And, of course, for dinner, that's where it really differs. For dinner, it's usually, you know, grass-fed beef tacos. Last night it was, you know, marinated chicken breast with rice. And the chicken breast was, I have no idea what it was marinated with. My wife made it, and it was delicious. I know that much. But I know she's a believer in trying to keep things as whole as, you know, possible as well. So I'm sure she just used some olive oil and maybe some spices and things like that. But that's how I get my protein. You know, I do have a shake just about every day, so I know that helps. Light string cheese and, of course, some kind of meat at night. And that's pretty much it in a nutshell. I don't even count how many grams of protein I have, but I'm in the neighborhood of around 120 to 135. I'm just estimating here, but that's about what I bring in. So hopefully that clears up the confusion on, you know, how much protein you need, and hopefully that takes some pressure off of your shoulders as far as needing to bring in 200 grams of protein a day. It's just not necessary. So with that being said, just want to remind you again, you know, you want to aim for 70 to 120 grams of protein a day. So with that being said, hopefully you found some good use out of this little podcast. It is the first one, and we got it done in under 30 minutes, so that way it solves your ADD problem. I know if you're like me, I can kind of shift mind directions a little bit. So hopefully this helps you guys out. Of course, to get more of your questions answered, shoot us an email over at cranktraininghelp@gmail.com. And of course, for more info, definitely check out my blog over at trainwithfinishers.com. And if you have no idea what a finisher is, you got to do something about that and then get on the free offer that I'm giving away. I'm giving what's called a finisher of the day. It's a week straight of finishers sent to your inbox. So you're going to get a finisher delivered straight to your inbox. You'll have the written form, and also have the option of going to a video to watch it as well. A couple of them are actual follow along, and then some of them are just demo vids. But either way, you'll get a lot of use out of them. You'll see what a finisher is all about. And you can get that at finisheroftheday.com. And the last but definitely not least page I want to give out is where I find to be just a great place to see some breakthroughs being made, some great questions being asked. I thoroughly enjoy being on Facebook. I love being a part of the Facebook community. I think it's a great way for people to connect. So definitely join me there. That is facebook.com/workoutfinishers. And I definitely hope to see you over there. So hopefully you guys got a lot out of this, and we will do another one of these at some point. And I will ask you for your, you know, for your input and, of course, your questions. Don't hold back. I'm here to help. And I'm happy to do it. So, again, this is Mike Whitfield with TrainWithFinishers.com and FinisherOfTheDay.com. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.